to a brand new episode of Tea with Janae. I'm your host, Janae Kirshner of Janae Kirshner Photography, and I'm so excited you guys are here. Tea with Janae is where we give real advice, tangible tips, and thoughtful insight about what it's really like to be a wedding photographer. So in this week's brand new episode, I'm chatting with my friend Matthew Wingard from A Fine Press, and we're talking all about owning your process as a creative business owner. Matthew shares about why owning and walking your clients through your creative processes is actually an act of love to help them get the best experience and give you the possibility of giving them the best level of service. So it's really a wonderful conversation. Matthew shares a lot of helpful tips, and I hope you get a lot of light bulb moments and you're like, oh, that really makes sense and that really resonates with me. So a lot of is that he is a designer and owner of A Fine Press, and he creates holy shit stationery for his clients. He has a love for music, particularly jazz, and his invitations are experiences that will always be one of a kind. Totally check out his work after this, and he also offers coaching and mentor sessions for professionals. I wanted to do a little bit of housekeeping before we get into today's show. So if you're listening to this podcast, it definitely sounds the best on a phone or mobile device or Alexa or Google Play. I've had a few listeners DM me or email me, and they say that it's hard to hear the show in their car. The audio isn't that great. And you know what? It's the same way for me too, with my own podcast and with other podcasts. So it's definitely how the car speakers are and how the audio is mixed. Now, if you're new to Tea with Janae or you've been listening since day one, I edit and produce this show myself. And I am the first person to tell you I am not an audio engineer. I literally use the app to do all of the recording and the editing. So I don't know what audio engineers know, right? So if you're listening and you are this person who knows this stuff and want to help us out, I would love to hear from you. Please feel free to email me at hello@tewithjanae.com. And you know, if you're listening, I hope you enjoy it. The content is always really great. Sometimes in the car, the sound might not be, and I apologize for that. But again, it's just me running this one-woman show here. Also, we're looking for sponsors, just like you. Tea with Janae is now accepting sponsors and partnerships for the podcast to help promote your company and your work. We love to partner with brands that align with our mission by educating wedding photographers, including other educators, podcasts, products, services, and more. If you'd like to apply to be a sponsor or a partner, please visit www.teawithjanae.com to find out more, and we can't wait to hear from you. Okay, so that was the only housekeeping we had, a couple little notes. So let's get ready, you guys. Let's grab a cup of tea and enjoy the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm so excited you guys are here. I have an incredible guest today. Matthew, can you say hi to everyone?
Well, hello, everybody.
Thank you so much for being here.
I am so excited.
I know, me too. I'm excited to talk about this topic, and I'm thrilled to have you on the podcast. I was so happy when you said yes. I was like, yay, Matthew's going to be on.
It is going to be awesome.
I know. But before we get started, let's tell everybody a little bit about you, your company, and how you got started.
Sure. So my company is called A Fine Press. What I say is I make holy shit stationery that helps my clients be known and remembered. I have been trying to find my place in the industry for a very long time. I started because in grad school, I had an assistantship where my very first graphic design project ever was making a full page ad for Downbeat magazine, which was terrifying because like I'm a jazz guy and Downbeat was like the Bible, and here I am making ads for it. And I had no idea what I was doing. But we had a symposium and I had to make this ad. And so, I started this little dabble in graphic design. And this was the time, you remember when like, it was a thing for hipsters to get on the subway with like a spinning wheel or a typewriter?
Yeah, totally.
Right. Like it was a thing for a period of time. And I developed this philosophy of the world that revolves around the idea that our parents and their parents, in the name of convenience, got rid of all the rituals in their lives. And it was supposed to make our lives better. But really what it did was leave more space to fill with more crap, because the rituals were where we get to reflect, where we get to like imbue meaning in our lives. And so this thing about rituals and this graphic design thing kind of merged at the end of grad school in weddings as the ultimate ritual and stationery as an expression of graphic design. So I did that for a while. And I had this inkling that like fitting in the market didn't make sense, but I wasn't brave enough to not fit in. And so I floundered for a few years and just kind of like, I was the letterpress guy, because, you know, a fine press that gets stuck with the name. And it's only been in the last few years that I've become really clear about who I am and who I'm for and what that takes to get that.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And we met last year in 2020 in the E3 group and irresistible selling. And yep. We had you spoke with me for about an hour about irresistible selling, and then we've become fast friends. So I know, me too. So we're talking today about owning your process. And I feel like you have really gone through this to own your process. And I thought this would be great for us to talk about. So let's start by breaking down the basics. You know, what kind of processes are we talking about?
Oh, totally. I was in a clubhouse room today, because that's my new favorite obsession.
Yes, me too.
And there were some people in it that I have worked with in the past, and I just wanted to hide because I didn't have these processes in place. And I am a very different person in business than I was then. And it's been fun to reintroduce myself, because essentially what I believe, and this is not my own original thought, Sean Lowe has taught me through his BBC Collective, what my business is more about what I value as a person and as a creative than my words ever will. And what I realized is that the way my business was structured was not making it clear to people what it was I valued, what my promise was to my people, essentially who I am in the world and what I can do for people. And so I've developed processes around how I weed out clients that aren't a good fit, how I invite a very specific target of client into my sphere, how I walk them through it's the sales process, but it's not very much a sales process. And then into the creative work, like what does it look like to, what do timelines look like? And how do we talk about decision-making and trust and all of those kinds of things? So those are the processes that over the last year and a half, 2 years, I've been trying to figure out what matters to me and then implement those. And it's amazing, because in the beginning, I would, when I would talk to a new wedding planner about who I am and what my business is, and they'd ask, well, how do you work? I would always say, well, how do you need me to work? And here I thought that I was being accommodating and helpful. And what I realized is I was doing the exact opposite. I was telling that planner, this guy can't do the thing. He has no idea what he's doing. He's going to screw up. He has no sense of purpose or process. And I thought that I was doing the right thing, and it was the exact opposite. So it's been a huge win for me to, you know, just last year, one of my branding clients, the thing she bragged about the most was my process. And that's something that 2 years ago I had nothing. And so it was just so powerful to see how much of a change that makes in my relationship with my clients and planners.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's so powerful too when you've figured out what works for you and how to express, you know, what's important to you and show that to your client in a way that's totally you and nobody else.
Totally. And that's the thing that's always hard, because it's really easy to create a checklist. And that's not the point of these things. It's really about the tough, mushy work of figuring out who do you want to be in the world and then building a business that lets you be that person.
Yeah, I think it's also important to note what you said before, that the planner was asking you how you work, and you're like, oh, however you work. And it's just actually doing them a disservice, right?
Too, and if anyone's ever heard me speak, they've probably heard me say, it's an act of love to tell someone, I can only give you my best, and these are the requirements to do that.
Yeah. Oh, I learned that from you. Yeah. I mean, when I'm on a call with a client, I'm like, this is how I can do my best. And this is what it, you know, requires to work with me. And that's a process that I have implemented where I can feel that it resonate with my potential couples and my couples that end up, we work together because they're like, yeah, you know, you said these things and that is what we
want.
I
love that. And it's like, scary because it turns away the people that don't understand it. And we all hate rejection. Like it's a human thing to hate rejection, but really your business needs to reject the people who don't get it, to shun the non-believer. And it's a powerful tool to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think it's important to have a process for every aspect of your business?
Oh my goodness. That's a question that I will probably have to process out loud here. I had always identified myself as like the improviser. You know, my education was in jazz, as a very kind of right-brained anti-process person. I've had friends in my life try to speak process into my life, and I was just vehement. And I think that at least as a creative business owner, I give myself certain in which I can really. But what happens is the processes, when you pick the right processes, they help you explore the edges of the sandbox. You know where that space is. And in my mind, it gives me more freedom and the ability to do my best work. There are some places where process there, because if there is, then it's going to yield the same results over and over again. But when my business gives me the space to focus on the creative work, because I know the business is taking care of itself, that I think is when I can do my best work.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if somebody who's listening and they're like, I don't have any type of process in place, you know, they're like, I don't even know where to start. You know, what would be your best advice for them to get started? Where should they do
that? I love that. Two things that I can think of immediately. One is that the process of money changing hands between you and your client, between your client and you, has to mean something. And that was a lesson I learned from Sean Lowe that was super powerful. For me, the way that expresses itself is I believe that one of the things that I do better than almost anybody out there in the stationary space is starting from a place of believing anything is possible and reflecting my couples in my work. So I am just as concerned with who they are as people, as actually more concerned with who they are as people than I am their wedding. Obviously, I want an invitation to reflect their wedding, but it needs to reflect the life after their wedding too. So if I can do that thing of distilling my people into what I call the holy shit moment that reflects who they are, if I believe that's valuable, I have to charge my clients for it. And so I actually start with a creative fee before we ever discuss your wedding. My sales call is essentially, hi, who are you? This is who I am. This is the way I see the world and my process. Do you trust me? And that's kind of, that's all it takes, because when you've consistently messaged who you are, then you've got all the resources for them to know that before you even hop on a call. And so at that point, my questionnaires, both my inquiry form and the questionnaire before that sales call, both give them a sense of who I am and allow me to get a sense of who they are. I usually walk into those calls knowing whether or not we're a good fit. And so at that point, it's just, are you here for the ride or not? And so then I charge a creative fee. And the end of that is a deliverable of basically nothing more than an idea, because I believe that idea has value. And so I charge for it. The other thing is creating one-way valves through the process, where changes can't be made once you've crossed certain thresholds. For me, because there's graphic design and production involved, that's once we've made an affirmative, an approval of the creative idea. If it was going to be on XYZ material, we're not going to change that in the next phase because it was agreed to. And then same thing happens. Design. If we've gotten to the point where we have approved graphic design, then we're not going to go back on that. I've actually got a wedding couple right now where they're planning on getting married at the end of the year. You know, obviously we believe the world's going to open back up, but we can't be sure. So we're building a timeline that allows a little bit of space at the end of that graphic design period for them to make a final decision. because it just has to be before production starts. But it's a one-way valve. Once they say yes, we don't go back. And being really clear about that up front and taking them through that leads them to a place of trust, which is the second, I think, important part, which is another thing I've learned from Sean Lowe, is I always tell my clients where we were, where we are, and where we're going. And that helps remind them every time. So when I say that the approval of an idea is a one-way valve, when we are in the sales process, I let them know the very first thing we're going to do, we're going to meet. I'm going to ask you a bunch of really tough, really weird questions because I need to get to know you to reflect you in my work. And then I'm going to go back to my corner. I'm going to design for you. I'm going to dream for you, thinking about who you are and the budget and the wedding and all of those things. And when I come back with an idea, if you love that idea and say yes, at that point, that work is over. And now we are just in graphic design and things don't change. So then when I give them the proposal, I remind them, okay, we've talked about that. We've had our meeting. This is what I'm making for you and where we are. When we move past this, there is no going back. And keeping the clarity of each part of that phase and saying it over and over and over again, because they don't live in your business. They don't know your world. So if you can walk them through that process and where you are in that process every time, they can trust you and you can dream bigger and more boldly on behalf of your clients.
Yeah, I love that. It's so powerful. And I think for photographers who are listening, you know, I walk my couples through the process of what to expect throughout the course of our time working together, and then also up to the wedding and afterwards. I think it's really important that they know, I guess, sort of my one-way valve.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're going to have your engagement session and we're going to schedule it, and then we're going to plan for your wedding and make your timeline with your planner. And then once that's done, we're shooting your wedding, and then to expect your photos. And like, so they know, I never want to get the email a few days after their wedding, like, when do we get our pictures? It's like, because they already know. 8 to 10 weeks or whomever, you know, whatever your turnaround time is, but there's no questions. And I've had that said back to me a few times where my brides are like, I felt so taken care of because I knew what was coming. You know, I wasn't questioning what was next because I already knew, you already
Bingo.
Told me.
One of the things that does is people would be surprised at how much space and freedom a client will give you if you're just clear about the process. Even if like for me, there are times when it's like, I'm not sure when I will be back with the idea. It may be a month and a half because this is the season we're in and this is what's happening. And it might be a bit, know that I'm working on it. And as long as there's clarity in that, they will give you the space you need to do your best work. Because when your business is aligned, people come to you for your best work and they will give you what you need as long as you're clear about it.
Yeah. And I think it also goes back to what you said earlier about, do you trust me? Right. And if you have built that trust with your client, they will give you the space to play. And I love that you say they'll give you the space. You need the space to
dream. You know, it's the asking, will you trust me? Literally came out of a conversation I had today in Clubhouse, of course, where we were talking about the intersection between bravery and creativity, because putting yourself on the hook, being creative, is an act of bravery. And a lot of times we shirk the responsibility and aren't brave. And that's usually when we get into trouble. And I was talking with Christy Rice, another amazing stationer, about what those one-way valves and gaining trust from our clients looks like. And I just asked her, have you ever asked a client, do you trust me? And I realized that's something I ask, but she hit it home how brave of a question that can be, because what happens if they say no? They might. Right. Well, the reality is either you had failed in explaining who you are and who you can be for them, or they just don't want it. Both of which, you know, have different outcomes. Either you need to clarify who you are, or, you know, if they just don't want it, then maybe your onboarding process was just kind of broken and you didn't weed out somebody who truly didn't see the world the way you do. And I think that's a blessing. Even though the rejection hurts, to go, okay, now I know that when I see those signs, that's probably.
Right. So did you write down your process? Like, how did you get to this point?
I am horrible about documenting in that way. I feel guilted when you ask that question. I love it. No, it's perfect. I don't, because of, you know, that whole right brain thing in me. It has all been an act of discovery. One of the places that that has really played out is as I discover who I am and what I am for my people. Those are the things that I build into every time every time I do the process, I'm testing a new portion of it. And I don't believe that you can A/B test this stuff when it comes to creative work because every client is different. It's more how does it feel on me and as a reflection of what I value in my business. And so you mentioned irresistible selling, doing the very first assignment you get in that course, talking to a couple and realizing that some things that I had already been doing were actually deeply valuable to them in ways that I hadn't even understood at the time. And having the clarity to know this is something that needs to be built into my process. And that was specifically was reflecting them and their work through the physicality of their space. Like I had asked them some questions about what they do, and they mentioned that they like to, they've done some home renovation projects together. They had built their and some asking for those pictures and saying, can I see those things and ways to incorporate that into the design. Those were things that I had done just kind of as a spitball and realized this was deeply valuable to my couples. And I need to integrate asking for pictures of their space into the process. And then just every time refining how I do that.
Yeah, I love that. I think for me, I'm very type A. I'm a 8 wing 7. I love lists and I love things to do. So I like to write out my process and then like have just sort of a way of doing things just so I can keep track. If I don't write it
Yes.
down, I forget it. But I just have to do that. So if anyone's listening, it's like, I need to write it down. Like,
I
me
will
too. Don't
say
worry about
because I don't, I often
it.
forget the things I'm looking to test typically. I'll walk into something going, man, I think I'm going to try this. And because I don't write them down, sometimes I forget. So I'm trying to learn that discipline. And honestly, to me, this is why it's both kind of ironic and awesome that that's what I'm here to talk about because I've always just been so anti-structure. Like that is not at the core of who I am. But what I've realized is the structure of process has very specifically helped me be more free in my creative play and my ability to dream for my clients.
True. Yeah, I was going to say, why do you think it's important to own your own process? But you
I
kind of
love it.
already answered
Yeah,
it,
because if you
but
don't, that well, I ultimately it's if your business says something about what you value that is different than the words that come out of your mouth, then your clients aren't going to trust you. They may not explicitly understand why, but if I tell a client that the idea to me is the thing that I can give them that other people can't, or my ability to reflect them in my work. And my process doesn't ensure that I have the information I need to do that. Well, my process is what is going to resonate with them. And they're going to go, man, he doesn't actually care about that thing. And ultimately, subconsciously, most likely, they're going to think I'm a liar. And I can't have that. I have to be in alignment in that way. And so having a process that reflects the very things I value, what I've learned is the reason I had been struggling so long is because I didn't have it.
Right. I think it's interesting and also made me have a little idea that I tell my couples, for their engagement session, and if we don't do one during their wedding, when we work together, there's always this moment in my creative process where things just click and the magic happens. And it's this thing that I've sort of called the squeal moment. I'm like, when you hear me squeal behind the camera, you
I
know that
love that.
things are going well, right? And it's sort of my, I don't want to say like thing, but I say it to them, and then literally, like within 30, 40 minutes of the shoot, it starts happening. We're all relaxed, we're having a good time, and then the light is right. And as a photographer, you're like, oh God, dreamy light. And then it starts happening, and my couples get excited because I have sort of already explained that process to
Yes.
them. And they don't believe me at first, and then it happens. And that's where that all of a sudden that trust is built. And then I can have them do whatever I want because they're like, oh, Janae is going to make us look fantastic. So I understand like that trust factor is
The
so
part of what you
important.
just said that resonates most deeply with me is that gives you the space to try weird things that might not work before that moment. If you're really clear with them before the day of their wedding that that's your process, then what that says is, hey, I may ask you to do something weird. It might not. Because let's be real, if we are truly creating custom creative work, there's absolutely a chance it won't work. If we were guaranteed to get it right every time, then it wouldn't be worth doing as creatives. And so what that does is you have enrollment from your clients that they will follow you through something that might feel weird and honestly might not even turn out right to the place where it does, where you can walk them through that and they can trust you that even if it's not, if this particular, you know, if this framing doesn't work out or this pose or whatever the thing is, that they can trust you that you know that that moment will come and that perseverance is what gets you there. I love that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, sometimes you're in a shoot and like, oh, this isn't working. And then you're like, let's just walk a little bit or talk a little bit. And then all of a sudden for me, it'll just start happening. So yeah. And then you're just like, oh, she's squealing. She likes it.
You need like a note card that says something about squealing or a t-shirt that says something about wait for the squeal.
I love that. It's on my website. It says I squeal with excitement behind the camera. So I definitely put it in there for sure. So I would love for you to share maybe some of your biggest wins, you know, by owning your process, maybe just to help inspire our listeners to sort of start thinking about this.
For me, so I am a storyteller at heart. And one of the challenges of being a storyteller is sometimes we get the details can get fuzzy. And one of the things that's been awesome about having process for me is because I'm just living it, there's clarity when I talk, I'm sharing the same message. And so for me, like that's not necessarily a hard and fast thing where like, oh, there was this moment. It's just, I was in a sales call yesterday and just knowing that like, if that couple has seen any Insta Live I've ever done, or has heard me in a clubhouse room or seen any of my YouTube videos or whatever it is, that what I'm telling them now aligns with those things. Even if they've evolved, it's all coming from this through line of it being an act of love to say, I can only give you my best. And these are the circumstances required to do that. And so, you know, what's funny is like people ask me about how my sales calls go. And essentially it isn't a sales call. It's, hey, I think we're on the same page. Here's how I see the world. Here's how I think you see the world. Are you in or are you out? And now, I mean, literally today, very clearly, I'm going to change that to, do you trust me? Because there is no more visceral way to know than to just ask, do you trust me? And so the clarity of like the win for me has been my process allows me to know when a client's not for me and to not worry about it. I think that honestly might be the biggest win of them all. I got an inquiry on Instagram this week and it was like, do you make business cards? Well, yes, I make business cards, but I have a creative fee that right now is around $2,000, even if you just want business cards, because I value the idea and the idea is going to cost you something. And just knowing they're like, well, they just kept pushing for things. And I just very clearly stated the very first step is go to my inquiry form, because my process is such on my inquiry form, I have a question that says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to consider an idea you had never heard before? Because And to be clear, my goal, and I think I'm finally at a point where I can do it, is if you answer below, say, a 7, you get an auto response that says, I don't think we're meant for each other. Here's who might be able to serve you. If by chance you think that you know, this was an error, and you know, because sometimes I the way I described it is, it's kind of like Willy Wonka, right? Charlie Bucket didn't know that could exist, that the world of the chocolate factory was even a thing. And all it took was opening his eyes to it for him to have complete buy-in. But all the other children saw it, and it wasn't for that. Like they weren't in alignment. And so occasionally you'll get a client who just didn't know that the way you see the world is possible. And you always have, But that is so few and far between that you need to build your process so that you're only attracting people who already know that they want the chocolate factory and they know what it looks like. And so for me, that question is the clarity. If you have specs, if you know what you want it to look like in your world, if somebody came to you with a shot list and poses, right? That's what that is for me. And I cannot give that client my best because my best is not production. Yeah. It's the ideas.
Right. Oh gosh. This brings up a good thing. It's like when someone comes to me, they're like, oh, I have a list of photos I want you to take besides family. Like that, you know, that's off, right? You know, that's
right.
Of course I'm going to take your family pictures. They're like, I want to recreate. Well, I don't get this anymore, which I think is good. But in the beginning, it was like, I really want to recreate this picture from Pinterest. Can we do that? And I'm like, no, like this is, we are not together, you know? And then I had a couple actually sneak in last year and everything was great until one part of the shoot. And they're like, oh, can we do this pose from Pinterest? And I was like, how did you get past my things? Yes. I was like, where were you hiding this? And I did it, you know, they obviously, you know, they're my client, but I was like, please don't ever post this in anywhere. And if you tag me, I'm removing it. You know, like I did everything right, but they still snuck in. And it's just like, you have to have that process in there. And sometimes the crazies get through. But know,
that's a really interesting point. Like I just always want to be clear that for me, as much as I value my creative space, in the end, it's about serving our clients. And so that's why I think it's so important that particularly our onboarding and sales process weeds out as many of those as possible, because I want to give my best. And you know that for you, doing that particular picture is not your best. I just talked to a photographer who got a request well after the vetting process that was like, hey, we're going to do a first look, but it's actually going to be the best man in a dress. And this person was like, how did you think that I was the right photographer for you? Right? Like where in my process did anything say that? And so we will occasionally get those. And at that point, it is absolutely required that we be loving to them in the moments that we can't control. And for some people, loving might be, I won't do that for you. You know, in that case, I would be thinking about the bride going, I would think about the bride going, does the bride actually really want that? Does she want to go into her first look with her groom with him laughing about the best man in the dress? And that it might be that the loving thing to do is to say no. But sometimes the loving thing to do is to say, okay, I will do this for you. Absolutely. Which is why the process of clarifying who you are and who you're for is so important, because, you know, doing that for one wedding is one thing. But if every client came through your door and wanted you to do things that were kind of against who you are, well, then your process is broken. And the challenge is everybody teaches us to get people to yes. This is my challenge with so much of the industry education right now, is it's about how do you get people to yes. And one of the things that I've loved about irresistible selling in that community is the willingness to say that person's not right for you. That person's not right for you, because so many people teach the idea of the sales process as being about getting people to yes. I would much rather get someone to no than get them to yes 90% of the time, because most of the people in the world are not people that I'm designed for. They're not the people I seek to serve. And so I need them to recognize that and get them to say no faster so I can focus on the people that I am for.
Right. Oh, and that is so powerful, because learning and accepting and being comfortable with saying we're not a fit is so empowering, because you're making room. And I fully believe in the universe. You're telling the universe that you are making room for your next perfect couple, right? And you're not wasting the space, and you're not wasting your energy on a client that's not your perfect fit. You know, because especially with wedding clients, we're with them for a long time. It's a long relationship. And if it sucks from the beginning,
then like, what's the best outcome in that scenario? Like there is no outcome. Right. And there are some really big opportunities for awful outcomes. And so to me, it's learning that rejection from the wrong people is exactly what you're looking for. And like, it goes so far as to like, I've realized that my best work absolutely happens when my couples have a planner. It's just literally the couple that wants to hire me but doesn't have a planner, they don't understand what I'm actually about, and they have a vision 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. So my inquiry form doesn't ask, do you have a wedding planner? It says, who is your wedding planner? And absolutely, that alienates a certain segment of the population. It's meant to. Not because I think I'm better than them, but because I know that I cannot serve them the way that they need to be served.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so powerful. Just the, who is your wedding planner, to do you have a wedding? That's like just a simple tweak, yeah, but it really is specific.
It's powerful when it works.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally does. My goodness, Matthew, I could talk all day about this with you, but this has been fantastic. Let's tell everybody how they can find out more about you, your work. And are you doing any coaching
now? I
saw that.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should. Yes. Okay, cool. Yeah. So let's tell the people how they can work.
I love it. So you can find me basically everywhere at A Fine Press, all one word, YouTube, Instagram, Clubhouse, which is absolutely my new favorite. And yes, I do coaching both as one-off or as series of mentoring. And my perspective is always going to be for people who believe their business's primary job is to feed their creative soul. I am not for people who think otherwise, and that's totally fine. And those are valid ways of seeking the world or being about in the world. But I just, you know, I always want that I share and believe all come from that point that our business's job should be to feed our souls. And so you can find me actually at afinepress.com/4-creatives and learn a little bit about the coaching there. And it's been just such a joy to watch people on this journey.
I love that. I love that you're doing it. And I just know that you care about who you're working with so much that you're going to help them and get them on the right track. So I love that. And all this information is in the show notes. So you guys can just swipe up right now and click on the link and say hi to Matthew immediately. So Matthew, thank you so much for being here. This is a pleasure. Shout out and a big thank you to our guests. Thank you so much for being here and sharing all of your tips and tricks and invaluable advice. We love you guys. Be sure to check out all their links and information in the show notes. You can find out more about them and their services and give them a shout out online and on Instagram. If you're listening, take a screenshot, share it with your in your Instagram stories, tag at Janae Kirshner, and I'll share it in mine. Can't wait to hear from you guys soon and share our next cup of tea together. Bye.